Welcome back, everyone. This is The Prepared Mindset. I am your host, Austin, and I got some stuff to share with you guys today. Let's keep it real for a second. It is the end of the year, right? So we're, first full week, I think, of December. We got out of Black Friday weekend. Hopefully everybody snagged some goodies themselves. And we're like in that golden month of the year, like the end of November, beginning of December, where you're out, you're doing family stuff. You're doing stuff with friends. You're going to see Christmas lights. You're taking your kids to see Santa, or maybe your dogs. Like, I know some people don't have kids or can't have children, right? So they take their dogs to PetSmart and they get photos with Santa. I find stuff like that to be cool. And, you know, we're getting into the part of the NFL football season that really matters, which to me is awesome to watch. I know for some of you guys, not so much. And we're also starting to get into the part of the year where it is very cold. It's very miserable, at least in the northern half of the country, some parts of the south, right? And we have to kind of adjust our driving style accordingly. And we have to deal with those problems because it's just, you know, how it goes. And more to the point here, as we get further into the year, we start to see the wind down on training classes. I think really the first week, maybe the first 2 weeks of December are pretty much it. And then a lot of trainers, a lot of training companies more or less go inactive until the calendar flips over. And then even some then wait until the third or fourth week of January, right? Maybe even longer before they resume their, I don't want to say touring schedule, but before they resume their travels out and about across the country or across the state, depending on who the company is and where you live, right, to conduct their training classes, whether that be for civilian, for law enforcement, both, or military only, if you have, you know, contracts and things like that. So it's a really interesting time of year, and it's something that just happens to kind of work out with me where I have a new experience to share with you guys, because actually it's as the time of this recording, it's the day of, I got to spend the weekend as an assistant instructor for the very first time. This is a really new experience for me. Teaching, if you guys have been listening for a while, teaching is not new to me. From 2000, like the summer after I graduated high school in 2007 to, up until just very recently, because I had quit teaching, marching band related activities. And then this winter got pulled out of retirement. And then due to some, professional conflicts / like moral concerns and things, I basically removed myself from that situation as well. So I've been teaching for, 18 years at this point. I consider myself somebody who's fairly seasoned in that activity. So had the opportunity when Kyle, the owner of Two Vets Development Group here in Michigan, reached out to me and said, hey, we train together on the regular at Battlefield CQB in Westland. Shout out to those guys, Nelson and Tim. We're out there weekly. It's like a $10 cover. You get in there for a couple hours and we run reps, we train, we learn, a small group of us. So it's a really cool thing. But I have developed and built a relationship with Kyle over probably, close to a year now, maybe a little bit more, a little bit less, something like that, right? And he asked me, hey, would you be interested in coming out and being an assistant instructor for a fundamentals course looking at the beginning of December? And I go, yeah, man, I would be very interested in that. That'd be a really cool opportunity. Are you sure? I don't have, to restate this for listeners, like I don't have a background in law enforcement. I don't have a background in the military, right? I'm just somebody who's taken a lot of training classes. And by a lot, I mean five. So maybe that's not a lot. Had some really great conversations, obviously, here through the podcast, and then had some great conversations and video calls with folks and individuals over Instagram and social media and things about the different ways and concepts and ideas behind structure clearance. So being a fundamentals course, I actually felt pretty comfortable stepping into this. And then obviously as an assistant instructor, it was the onus of instruction was not completely on me. So if I needed it and I wanted to make sure that I was preserving a good, accurate and accountable experience, right, for those people taking the class, I knew I could go and fall back to Kyle and say, hey, this is just a little bit beyond my depth if I needed it, right? And I kind of had that safety net. So I'm gonna talk about it, man. Like, it's a really, really cool experience for me, because when I left music, you know, or at least working and teaching, you know, the competitive marching arts full time, I was pretty resigned to the fact that I probably, unfortunately, would just not be able to teach anymore. And it's something that I have a passion for. And I've had several people tell me I have a natural talent for. And I don't say that like to massage my own ego, but that's the feedback I've gotten. And yeah, so I was excited for the opportunity. And we spent 2 days doing some work. I'm going to talk through kind of all of it, the feelings, the observations, the thoughts, the takeaways, right? Because I feel like it's a big opportunity for individual growth and some strong takeaway points. So I'm going to get into all of that because I feel like there's a lot of you out there listening. Some of you I know firsthand as people I would call friends, some people who have reached out as acquaintances that run training companies that have been through teaching in this space, have experienced some of these things. And yeah, so I'm going to take a few moments here. Like, we're gonna do this whole episode. As I was saying that, I'm like, it's not a few moments, it's the whole damn thing, man. Like, don't lie to these people. And I'm gonna talk about it. But before I get into that, I absolutely have to take the time to say thank you to our presenting sponsors here at Prepared Mindset. These episodes come out every week, you guys, and we have a couple incredible sponsors, a couple incredible folks that make this podcast possible, that support me and everything that I do to bring these out to you every week, to bring the sit reps to you every month, to bring YouTube videos out every week, or, you know, maybe sometimes it's bi-weekly. And then obviously Instagram content. These are partners in the industry that I trust, have had great experiences with as a customer, and then ultimately have relationships with through the podcast. So first, I want to say a very big thank you to the team over at Custom Night Vision. You guys, you can head over to their website, customnightvision.com. And honestly, at this point, they probably still have their Black Friday code active. It is BF2025. If you want to head over to the website, again, customnightvision.com, and check out everything they have available and try and snag some gear, snag some kit at a discounted rate. Custom is a fantastic company out of Houston, Texas, and they are your one-stop shop, you guys, for all things night vision. And I don't just say that lightly. They really do cover all of the bases. So starting from the smallest of things, like maybe you need some counterweights or something like that, they have those available. Maybe you need a mount, maybe a helmet, right? Hey, I already have my night vision and I paid that off because I used my credit card or something, and now I need to look at a helmet. Well, head on over again. It's customnightvision.com to their website and check out the full line of Team Wendy helmets, whether that's bump, the carbon bump, or the ballistic options available. And they actually include the discount code in the product description to help you save, like, it's like 28% or something incredible off of the Team Wendy line of helmets. Regardless of it's bump or ballistic, you're going to save money, and it's going to be more affordable than a lot of the competitors out there in the market. Additionally, if you are looking to buy your very first night vision unit, that's fantastic. And the guys at Custom have it as their mission, as their goal, as their purpose to provide the most transparent purchasing experience possible to you, their customer. So you can reach out. Again, you can head over to customnightvision.com. They have the chat icon in the lower right-hand corner. You can reach out and talk to Trevor or Kevin, who was actually just on last week, or Ben, and they will be able to counsel you through the purchasing experience, whether that's building your own monocular device like the PVS-14 or the Tanto, or you're building your own binocular device. You're going to buy once, cry once. You guys, head on over to customnightvision.com. Check out everything they have available and step into the superpower that you can buy. Additionally, I want to take a moment here and say thank you to my friends over at Harrington Arms. You guys, if you're looking to step into a compensator, right? Maybe it's something that you've seen online, it's something you've read about, something maybe certainly you're curious about, but don't have a ton of money to pour into, you can head on over to harringtonarms.com. That is their website, Harrington with an E, and check out their line of compensators for all sorts and all varieties, brands of handguns, whether that's Smith & Wesson, Glock, Canik, Springfield, the list goes on. They also carry several different options for threaded barrels to get you into a compensated pistol setup. I was using and have been using their the first version of their HC95, that's what it is, and have absolutely loved it. Tried the V2, a little bit too much compensation for me. Switched back to the V1. They also have magwells. They got a ton of good stuff going on there, you guys. Honestly, don't just take my word for it. Head over to harringtonarms.com and check out everything they got going on for yourselves. So, with all that being said, big thank you and a huge shout out, especially this time of year when we're celebrating being thankful so, so much. Very, very thankful for our partners and our friends in the industry. And with that, I'll say a very special thank you to Kyle and Drew from Two Vets Development Group for allowing me to participate in this weekend's class, which is going to be, it's the content of this discussion really is what we're talking about. So I know a lot of people out there believe that they are good shooters. They believe that they have the skills to do other things very well, whether that's, you know, small unit tactics or structure clearance or comms or med. It's a really humbling feeling, really exciting feeling when you're approached by somebody who has a lot of experience and runs a training company and has done this for several years and, you know, hey, we'd like you to participate. And I was like, man, that's pretty cool. Like, I had to think about it. Honestly, I was like, I know I said yes almost immediately, but, like there was a couple of times where I was like, I don't know, man. I really don't know if I should go do this because, you know, if you guys have been paying attention in this industry, we have issues with people like me teaching things. And that's, you know, not only on the shooting side, because if people don't find your resume or pedigree to be up to snuff, you'll come under some pretty rough scrutiny. But specifically, yeah, if you have skills, if you have passions that you haven't professionally done out there in the real world, there's, and I'll say to a large degree, right, rightfully so, right, a lot of scrutiny behind what makes you think that you have a right to stand in front of people and be a teacher, be an instructor. And I agree with that, like 100%. I don't ever want to put it out there that I am some kind of instructor, in truth, right? And in complete and total transparency, I've taken classes, right? I am happy to share what I know with folks because at one point, right, I didn't know anything about shooting. I didn't know anything about structure clearance, CQB, whatever. I didn't know anything about comms. I didn't know anything about medical. I didn't know anything about a lot of stuff, right? So at that point in my life, I remember just being very curious and really looking for not even necessarily people to actively converse with, right? But just sources, right? Sources of trustworthy information where I could just reach out to that source, not necessarily like them personally, but go to their Instagram page, go to their YouTube channel, go to a podcast, right? And see like, hey, these guys seem pretty knowledgeable and have been great in the past. Can I find something from them on this, fill in the blank topic, whether that was like, you know, night vision or how you set up and build out a carbine or, you know, shooting or communication, things like that. And there are certainly great ones out there. You know, I don't even want to get into the list of people who have been influential in my own, you know, journey and development. I'll say a couple of quick ones. Like, honestly, I think the Fieldcraft Survival podcast, which is making a bit of a revival lately. Those guys, all of them, right? Even very early on when it was Glover and those guys, up until, you know, more recently with, you know, Kevin Estella before he left and now returned. I got a lot of good information from them. Lucas from T-Rex Arms, I think, was influential and impactful on a lot of people, right? And people like Grand Thumb, now I would say more like Barrel and Hatchet, Orion Training Group for me, because they do, I do think they put a pretty good amount of content out there to be helpful to people. And certainly having taken a lot of their classes, I really agree with a lot of their curriculum. And, you know, everyone's got their own list of people. Like some people hate, almost everybody I just rattled off. And that's fine. That's like the cool part of this community is that you can, as a consumer, right? Because that's basically what it is. Let's call it what it is. As a consumer, you can choose who you want to consume information from. You're not restricted by, guidelines and policy and things that your particular team or agency puts in front of you. Unless you're listening to this and you are law enforcement and you are former military. And then you can still seek out that additional information. It just may not be as helpful because you can't put it into common practice the way a lot of us civilians can because we don't operate with those same procedures and restrictions and things like that. So, you know, looking at those sources of information, that was really valuable to me. You know, and I would spend hours and hours just rewatching, re-listening to certain discussions and videos and examples and things like that. So, you know, I think it was important for me, right, when this opportunity came along, I wanted to make sure that if I was going to do this, I did it right. I wanted to be adding value, You know what I mean? I didn't want to, because I kind of had that fear, and maybe it was kind of why I was like a couple times looking, maybe just, hey, reaching out to Kyle, being like, hey, man, thank you, but no thanks. I don't think I can. Was because I didn't know if I was going to be able to do this. You know, I didn't want to just be like the guy that went and set up, you know, props and, you know, just kind of, maybe, I don't want to use the word babysat, but attended to, you know, people who were just really struggling a lot or something. Like, I wanted to make sure that if I was there and I was participating in this capacity, that I was able to really bring value with my effort. And I think I was able to, you know, through my training and things like that. And one of the things I started off in class, and I'll say this after having reached out to several individuals in this community, right, who have backgrounds in military and law enforcement, who've done a lot of this work. And I said, hey, you know, I have this opportunity presented to me, you know, and I really like teaching. I really enjoy it. I've been told it's something that comes to me naturally, and I have a apparent gift for, right? And I don't want to sound like I'm bragging here. And I think I want to do this. You know, I have this opportunity in front of me. Like, what do you guys think, man? Like, tell me the truth. If you think that it's going to cause problems for me or the podcast or anything like that, like, I just won't do it. You know, it would be unfortunate, but I'll step back. Because, you know, while I'm not a fan of stay in your lane, I think that when we're talking about skills and tactics and things that are of a critical and life-saving nature, the person presenting them needs to know what's what. Now, that doesn't mean they always need to be the most combat experienced individual. You know, we've talked about this before on this podcast, that being a strong educator, a good instructor, right, is, in my opinion, more about good communication skills backed by good, valid data and information, the curriculum, as it were, right? And less about what a piece of paper says that you've done and where you've been, how many medals you have and whatnot. Because there are guys out there, right? There are dudes out there that were in, you know, notable units, right? And have a Purple Heart and can be some of the worst teachers you've ever fucking met, you know. And those are things I encountered when I was on the music side of things too, is people who were extremely high achievers as a personal performer, but then later on in life, when they are becoming older and they're too old to participate anymore, so now they're becoming an instructor, right? And they find tremendous failure. Because the assumption is, just because I was able to personally achieve and personally attain at a very high level, that I was also then going to be able to teach others to do that. And it's not always the case. Sometimes it is, you know, there certainly are those people, but it's not always a guarantee. And you really have to work at it for some folks. You know, being a teacher, being an educator, being a communicator, some people really have to work at it, man. You know, it's not their gift. And that's not a dig, man. I'm just giving you like the straight up on it, right? Some people who, and they run training companies. They're out there right now. You probably know some of them, right? And I don't necessarily have anybody specific, you know, imaged in my mind when I say that, but I will just say that, you know, communication skills are something that needs to be worked on, honed, and developed. And some people have done a very, very good job investing themselves and investing their time in that. And I think others have not. I think other people think that it's a foregone conclusion that you just need to learn the way I teach. You need to understand the way I explain, or that's your problem. That's a you problem. That's not a me problem. And you know, to a degree, I understand, because a lot of people's backgrounds, having come from the military, that's how it was handled. And the guys that do really, really well and exceed, usually in discussions and things, will credit great instructors they've had along the way. They'll say things like, I stood on the shoulders of great men. I had great teachers. I had great instructors. So this is something I took very seriously as somebody who really hasn't done any of this stuff professionally. You know, I really wanted to make sure, again, that I was bringing value to the overall effort, the class, right, that Kyle and his company were putting together. So had a lot of second thoughts, honestly. I was like, man, I don't know. You know, I really don't know about this. I really don't want to be painted as anybody who's trying to be less than just genuine and authentic. So, you know, obviously I ended up going, and when we started the first day, I was just very clear with everybody. The advice I had gotten that I followed from some folks I really trust in the industry with good backgrounds was just be very upfront, right? Be very upfront that you've never done the work before. You're here as an extra set of eyes, and you've got a lot of time behind you in the training sense. Which is exactly what I did. You know, when Kyle gave me the opportunity to introduce myself to the class, when we were all going around sharing names, who we are and what we do, and all those, you know, all those fun things. Just that's what I told everybody, like, hey, I'm just a civilian. I've never been in the military. I was never law enforcement. I just have a lot of time working on this. Kyle asked me to come out and be an extra set of eyes, an extra set of hands to help. And I'm more than happy to step in, very excited for the opportunity, you know, ahead of us all. And Kyle certainly, you know, had some very nice words to say about my abilities and things. And that was, you know, obviously good to hear, but he wouldn't have asked me otherwise, right? So, got that out. And I will say, I wasn't really sure going into it. We had a mix in class. I think initially we had 16 people total signed up. And I believe it was like 6 were law enforcement, active law enforcement. And I think 10 were then civilian. So obviously, as somebody who doesn't do this and hasn't done this as a job, standing in front of men and potentially women, right, who do this every day, I didn't really know what to expect. I didn't know the kind of pushback I might get, if any, because you know, I think that a lot of us have this preconceived idea that everybody will always be super duper excited to go train, man, to go attend a class, to go learn, spend a whole weekend, you know, in the shoot house, as it were, right? Learning CQB fundamentals or on the range performance shooting, land navigation, small unit tactics, like all that stuff, right? And that's not always the case. And I'm going to say this, and I hope I don't offend anyone when I say it, but I just want to give you guys the most honest information. We've certainly had other guests in this podcast that will reaffirm all of this, is that not every police officer is there to get better. They're attending training classes because they are required to as a part of their job annually. And being that the company is, I think it's MCOLS, they're MCOLS certified. So their training does count towards the hours that are required for officers here in the state of Michigan. So, you might, right, of course, have officers that just show up and they don't really want to be there. They're not really, you know, always going to put in the best of effort. They're not always going to put their best foot forward. Now, I'm not saying that about anybody in the class. I am saying that you may come across that, and we've certainly had guests in this podcast that have mentioned those things when teaching law enforcement agencies, is that you get this half-hearted, half-assed effort because guys don't want to be there. They don't think it's important. They don't think it's critical. They think it's a waste of time. So I mentioned all of that to say that I was very concerned, a little bit worried. Maybe I don't want to use the word scared, but like, what kind of reception might I get leading with, hey guys, you know, my name is Austin. I am a civilian. I was never in the military or law enforcement. I've never done this work for real, but I have practiced doing it an awful lot, so you should listen to me. And I will say it was really, really cool to be basically just, you know, completely accepted and welcomed. That was something I was really worried about coming into it. I'm very confident in the knowledge I have, and I'm very confident in my ability to articulate that knowledge. You know, I've been doing it on our Thursday night sessions, again, at Battlefield CQB, for about a year and a half. And, you know, and again, it's not like anything where I figured this out, but, I try to, you know, always give credit when people reach out and ask. They say, you know, how'd you figure this all out? I go, well, I learned from, you know, the guys over at Orion Training Group. I've taken their classes. I think those dudes are really, really strong individual educators. And I think as a team are also very strong. So I really benefited from attending their classes. And then through our year and a half of regular weekly training, I was able to just learn more, understand better, you know, really just grow to the point where I think I can answer questions, articulate, understand why people are thinking certain ways. And then certainly, like, I've added to that knowledge, not just based off of the OTG experiences I've had, but working with Kyle on our Thursday night sessions. Like, he doesn't do everything exactly the same way that Orion does. And he and I have some disagreements on certain things. Like, hey, I think this is the better way to do this. And he disagrees. Or, hey, he thinks we should do that. And I think it's an unnecessary step. Like, not on a lot of things. Otherwise, I don't think he would have asked me to step in and help, right? And it's fine, man. And that's the thing that I think more people need to understand in the context of having a discussion about tactics. People get really twisted around the axle when we disagree on tactics. My thing is, if you can articulate yourself and respect my perspective and point of view, maybe we can meet in the middle. I think that when we have issues is when people are closed off, closed-minded, and insistent that what they're doing is better than what you're doing and can't articulate it, can't justify it, can't explain it, then we have problems. And honestly, I thought about it several times this weekend. One of the things that Jared, I think, has said in at least a couple of the classes I attended with him was, something along the lines of, I don't even care if you guys come out of here learning CQB, to be honest, I'm just here to teach you guys how to argue better on the internet. Which always makes me laugh because some of the most hateful and just awful commentary, arguments, discussions on the internet happen over CQB, arguments, over stupid shit, like whether you should wag your barrel or nod your head, whether you should take the stock out of your shoulder or you should leave it in or whatever. Like, guys have all kinds of opinions on all kinds of things, and it's some of the most hotly debated shit out there. And, for better or for worse, right? Maybe that's good for interaction and discussion as long as it yields a positive result. If we don't agree at the end of the day, maybe we can find some things that we do agree on and we can move forward together amicably. Unfortunately, that's not always the case. I certainly have had my fair share of interactions with people who, will be very, very polite and nice to you in their tone and in their demeanor while also saying some extremely rude shit to you because they want to stand on their previous experiences and things like that, and they want to be very dismissive, and that's a way to mask, in a lot of instances, an inability to articulate a perspective or a way of doing things. And I think if you can't, and this is the same stuff I encountered when I was teaching music, and this is like the beautiful part of being able to draw parallels and intelligently think through experiences and try to critically think of yourself and your own actions and understanding and find your own gaps, right? Spend time internalizing, right? What you know, what you're seeing, what you think, right? And then evaluating that outside perspective and really making the decision, like, hey, is this really still the best way? And you learn stuff, that's the cool thing. If you guys take classes from any reputable companies, a lot of times what you'll find is that while the core content of the class may be the same, a lot of details, a lot of things may change from one year to the next. Like, certainly I noticed some differences with, Jared and Jason from May of last year when they came up and gave a 3-day class to May of this year when they gave a 2-day course. Is the core curriculum pretty much the same? Yeah, but how they taught it was a little bit different. What they taught was a little bit different this time. And that's because as an instructor, I think, find newer, better, different, whatever ways and make the decision to incorporate that in, that shows that you're actively searching for that, right? The way that we talk about how you should always be looking for ways to get better as a shooter, right? As a fighter, if you're talking about, being a combatant and hand-to-hand and things like that. You should always be, chasing the opportunity to improve and get better. That, too, it's the same thing as an instructor. Whether you're looking at your communication skills and your presentation skills, or you're looking at the content, or even just the way you're presenting that content, right? Because I think that kind of falls into your overall communication skills. The way you present stuff is huge, man, because that really speaks to and plays to how people hear you, how they receive you. If you have a very tense or terse, I guess, maybe like tone of voice, you're very uptight, rigid, people aren't going to like it, man. Maybe you raise your voice all the time, you yell a lot. Because people made jokes, say like, oh yeah, I'm going to go get yelled at again. Like, we didn't yell. That's just, people make the joke and they get called out for doing stuff wrong. And it's not really a yelling thing. It's, hey man, you paid money to come here and get better, so we're going to give you everything that we have. You know what I mean? I think Kyle would agree with that. And most instructors I've ever taken classes from, whether it was like Robbie out at Ann Arbor Arms, the OTG guys, whatever, they would all agree with that. Like, I'm like, if you don't want to hear it, like, that's fine, man. As long as you're being safe, I don't really care. But I'm trying to give you every benefit I can of my own knowledge and wisdom and ability, because that's what you paid for. And that's how this deal works. As a trainer or a training company, that's the bag, right? So going into class, it kind of went along a lot of similar routes to stuff that I have experienced before, you know, and that's the beautiful part about Kyle and I think working together, training together. We took a class together in May when Jared and Jason were up here. So we kind of had a lot of shared experiences together where we were able to align with one another. And that was actually a multi-time piece of feedback or multi-time. We got multiple pieces of feedback. Maybe that's the better way to say that. We got multiple pieces of feedback from people in the class when we did our day two after action report. We didn't do one on the first day, but at the end of class, we do an AAR. And, you know, I think every class that I've been in has embraced that as a best practice. Like, tell me the good things, tell me the bad things. How can I be better? What did you like? What did you not like? And, you know, some of the feedback was, you know, can't believe that this is your guys' first time teaching a class together because it seemed very seamless. There wasn't any like contradictions between what Kyle was saying and what I was saying. Got a lot of, we had different perspectives from both of you, things like that. So that was really cool to know that something that I tried very hard to do to stay in like lockstep with Kyle and something I was very focused on, that showed him through, right, in the presentation and the information, right, that was given to the students. That's not always the case. You know, you'll certainly probably find, you know, instructional experiences, and that's regardless if it's, you know, the 2A space or, you know, music or something else where you and another instructor, or if you're someone learning and you have two instructors who just have two very different ways of doing things, will disagree. And as a student, that makes it very difficult for you because you're trying to focus on doing it the way the first guy told you, and then the second guy comes about and goes, oh, you're doing this all wrong, because he wants it done a different way because that's what he likes. So when you're not on the same page, right, it is a tremendously impactful issue for the clients, for the people attending the class, the students, right? So, got into class. Unfortunately, Drew wasn't able to be with us for most of it. He was there for part of the first day. Had to step out for something else. Because life happens, man. That's the thing about all of this stuff. Like, we actually had people that weren't able to attend the class because of manpower issues at their agency, which stinks. We had a gentleman who was there for the first day, but then couldn't come for the second day, rather, because on the evening between class days, his vehicle was struck by a driver, like a minor, 16 or 18 year old driving a Mustang, I think is what I was told. And he had to be home dealing with that and talking to the insurance company and all that stuff. So he had to make that decision. He couldn't be there. Like, life stuff happens, man. Like, I get it. So we got into class. We rolled with it. I basically kind of became the second instructor, more of a second instructor, I guess, less of an assistant instructor. Although, to me, really, like, my goal was to kind of blur that line. You know, like, I wanted to be as helpful as I could while not stepping on toes, you know, going into it thinking Drew or Kyle ended up being just Kyle, right? Hey, I don't want to take away anything, right? I don't want to take away time from him. I don't want to take away focus, the student's focus, right, from him. I want to make sure, again, that I am bringing value to this through giving him the platform when appropriate, right? And then also being able to add to that, whether that's like an additional detail, a separate context or perspective where, hey, you know, we just did this and this. Can you guys think of a time when doing the reverse might be better? And just try to engage the students and get them thinking, because, and that's not a dig or anything bad, right? If you guys have ever taught, you know, that sometimes you get down a certain train of thought and you kind of forget a little bit of the outside concepts because you're trying to make sure that the first idea you had is being explained well. And I think to me, that's really where the value of having two instructors in a class comes in, because it is very mentally taxing. You know, like, we didn't really, I don't think, work very hard in class as instructors. You know, like, I think mentally, right, it's very difficult as you get towards the end of the first day. And certainly, I'll say when I woke up this morning, I was like, man, I feel really run down, you know, because I was up at like 5:30 yesterday, out the door by 6 or so, hit the gas station to grab a Monster, and then I think I got to class right about 6:55, because we started at 7, and we were there until about 3, came home, you know, do the stuff with the wife and everything, and then today, get back, you know, up and at him. I think I hit snooze, so I got up at 5:45, Was out the door about 10 after 6, and then I had to take a different route out there. I don't know why, but like pretty drained, you know, mentally, physically. And I think a lot of the students had that same feedback. It's the way it works with class. You get a lot of information, right? We threw a lot at the class. And I will say, the class did pretty well, you know. I mean, we moved through a lot of content for 2 days. So we started with the fundamentals, man, like really fundamentals. We talked from everything from how you set up when you get to a door, like your threshold assessment. We talked about how to shoulder a rifle, you know, in a couple different ways, right? We talked about when you want to break the gun out of your shoulder pocket, right? We took the time to talk about like, hey, if you don't want to do that, you know, hey, if some of you guys really don't like that concept, if you really want to keep the gun mounted in your shoulder pocket, because either that's what you like, or that's, I mean, for some people, I'm sure, not in our class, but I'm sure for some people, it's like, well, that's my favorite influencer tells me, so I don't want to do this. Hey, cool, you can leave it in your shoulder pocket. Here's how you can still effectively make entry with that without just telegraphing your position. And we got into the ways of moving through a threshold, right? So, and then multiple terms, right, for all of that, because everyone does CQB or structure clearance a little bit different, right? And different terms are thrown out there, different ideas that, you know, people may or may not be aware of and stuff. So you want to tell them, hey, this is called, you know, path of least resistance, or sliding through, or stepping through, or just flowing. Because they all mean the exact same thing, right? That you're not button hooking. Button hooking may be one of the only ones, and I'm saying that out loud, that may be one of the only terms that doesn't have multiple names I could think of in this context and in this space. but you explain what that means too, right? And then, you know, you try to give just multiple perspectives to things, like, here, we make entry this way by alternating, you know, which, you know, you go to the opposite direction of the man before you. Some places don't always do that. Some places will have you stack up, you know, two on each side of the door. You'll still go to your point of domination will be alternate of that of the man before you. But some places will do all of the people on the right side, then all the people on the left side. And there's different reasons for that. And I'm sure to some extent that could be a difficulty that could be encountered in a class, is having to ask students to, you know, hey, can you break from what you normally do to try on for size what we're doing? Because you paid to come get our perspective. We want you to get your money's worth as, you know, as you're working with us. And I sometimes it's a yes, sometimes it's like, no, I'm going to do it my way. And you kind of got to, I'm assuming, right, just bob and weave, just adjust and deal with that. We didn't have any of that in the class, to be clear. Like, I think we had a tremendous group of individuals that were really driven and really wanted to learn. They came out. It was, for me, it's a really cool experience, because having dealt with like high school kids, sometimes you really do just get those little shitheads that just pop in there that are like, I don't want to fucking be here, and I'm going to be miserable. And like we talked about a moment ago with some people in the law enforcement space who just really, just don't want to necessarily be there all the time. You deal with some of that attitude, and they, you know, you get a little bit of a half effort. You get a little bit of a shitty vibe off of them and stuff. And certainly I've had those experiences. And it looks the same, you know, every time. It's like, you know, short or very curt responses. A lack of willingness to engage. Like, all right, we need four more people to step up and do this. And they're always kind of just hanging out in the back, not really wanting to participate. Or you'll, you know, walk to the other side of the structure or whatever to go take a leak. And you'll find them wandering around on their phone or something. And it's like, or they'll go back to the break area and go sit on their phone while they say they're in the bathroom. Those are both things I've experienced in training classes as well as teaching marching band. Actually, believe it or not, it was like a huge issue one season with band. Kids would just go like, oh yeah, I got to go leave the field and go to the bathroom. And you'd catch like three dudes hanging out in the bathroom together while one of them was sitting in the stall taking a shit. The other two would be sitting there playing on their phones and having a conversation and everything. And it's like, aren't you guys supposed to be out in the field? And they were never even kids that I taught. But I'm like, can you guys get out there? Like, you know, state finals is in 3 weeks or 2 weeks or whatever for you guys. It would be really great to have you out there for practice. And that stuff happens, man. Adults do that too. They just don't want to be there sometimes. Like, and I get it. Sometimes life hits hard and you're like, man, I just can't deal with this right now, but I have to. So you try to be, you know, nice about it. I mean, at the end of the day, at least with private students, right, they pay to be there. So it's like, you do what you want. sort of, but again, absolutely fantastic group of people that were out there and available for the course. Guys, some people, I think we had a couple dudes actually, it was their first class. And that's always really cool for me to see, you know, or hear about is like, how do people like make that choice? You know, like what's your first real structured formalized class going to be? Like, how do you make the decision? Like, is it structure clearance? Like there were a couple guys today that did it that way. Or is it going to be like a carbine fundamentals or a handgun fundamentals where you're like, man, I feel like I have to start here because good shooting is the foundation of everything else. And like, certainly that makes a ton of sense. Like my first class, was, I want to say it was carbine 2 at Ann Arbor Arms, Robbie, Torres, who's the head instructor there. And has been for, cause this was like 2021 or 2022, something like that. That I took that first class. at least I'm pretty sure that's when it was. Yeah. And, I had sent him videos on Instagram when I found out who he was and everything. I was like, hey, you know, I want to sign up for this class. Do I need to take the carbine 1? Because I knew a lot of carbine 1 classes and stuff were very fundamental, and I didn't really want to waste the time sitting there learning how to, you know, shoulder the weapon, how to do a reload, you know, how to turn my, you know, safety off and on and all that stuff. And he, you know, he looked at the videos. Like, oh no, man, you're good. It was just me dry firing, you know, so it showed an overall competency enough that it was, you know, yeah, you can go ahead and do that. So, stepped into carbine 2 and then from there it was, I want to say I took carbine 2 twice, and not because I like failed the first time, but just because, Robbie's one of those kinds of instructors where like he is constantly looking at ways to learn and improve. So, I can very honestly and factually say that between the first time and second time I took it, there were a lot of different things presented there. Now the fundamentals were all the same, but the way in which they were taught was different, which was cool for me because then it didn't feel, you know, at all like I was wasting my time or wasting any money or anything like that. And so much so that I went back with my wife and took a concealed carry class, concealed carry tactics, I think is what it was called at the time. But, you know, drawing from concealment and putting rounds on target, firing from retention, stuff like that. So, but getting back to the class, this weekend. So we started with threshold assessment, making entry, button hooking, how that works, how we alternate people. And we spent a lot of time talking and explaining about, nonverbal communication, you know, and the ways that we can let each other know, that we are either trying to swap responsibilities or that we are, you know, asking for work or giving up work, basically, letting somebody know, hey, it's okay for you to walk in front of me, my gun is down now, or hey, put your gun down, I need to walk in front of you to make entry. And those of you that have done that, you know what I'm talking about. Either a barrel wag or a barrel release. Some people use head nods. I guess there's other stuff out there too. And then obviously making entry into the room with whether that's, you know, a center fed or a corner fed, and dealing with, you know, hey, let's add some environmental limiting factors here. You can't fit two guys here. Can we split this up so you put, you know, 1 and 3 on opposite sides of the door instead of 2 and 2? Things like that, where you're just trying to get people to get like a creative understanding of it. And it went really well, man. It's a super, super cool feeling when you see people start to understand. And not only like that they say that they understand and they nod their head like, yeah, you know, and you're like, do you really? I don't know. But you can actually see that they understand because, hey, guess what? The next several repetitions after that, it's better. They do understand. They are getting better. It's really cool. And then especially if you're able to, you know, provide additional context like, well, hey, if you guys haven't thought about this yet, you know, here's one more thing for you. And that's just the kind of stuff that I think, you know, as a good teacher, at least in this conversation, right, about this specific skill set, I think that's the kind of stuff that you really need to bring to the table if you want people to feel like they got the most value out of it and they learned the most that they could. And, you know, so by the end of it, we were, man, let's see what we're doing. We were doing in 2 days, mind you, right? Because I've done a lot of this stuff and it took a full 3 day class. In 2 days, we were up to the point where we were running, you know, we're moving down a hallway, clearing an open door, Moving to a closed door, making entry on the closed door, clearing the room within, moving down through a hallway, and addressing that entire time, right? Shoot and no shoot targets, doing cover contact drills, and then all of the nuance and difficulties that can come with that, right? It's very easy for us to just dig a corner and, you know, then scan a sector and look around. But then if you have a target that's halfway up the wall, like somebody who might be crouching or kneeling, and you completely miss that, because you're locked into the mental space of, okay, I go here, I turn here, I do this, very like step by step by step, because you're worried more as a student, I think, about not making a mistake than you are about doing it the right way, if that makes sense. And again, it's not a derogatory thing, and I hope you guys understand when I say that, like the difference between those two things. I think a lot of us get tied up in, I don't want to make a mistake, right? I don't want to be the guy that made it, that dropped the ball, that ruined what we were trying to do here. And you're so caught up in that, right? That you're trying to just go boom, boom, boom through the steps. You're not seeing the forest through the trees, so to speak, right? So we did drop a couple of those haha got you moments in there, but a lot of the time it was, you know, those courses of fire that Kyle put together at the end. We're very thoughtful. It is very much a, hey, if you do the right things here using the tools that we've provided you, you will be successful. And when people didn't, we were able to show them, hey, do you see why this is an issue? Hey, you stuck your barrel through the threshold because you're in a small room coming into another small room and you didn't condense or angle yourself, you know, the right way. Or, hey, you guys had two people here, and rather than fully utilizing, that cross coverage effect where, you know, the guy on the left has the far angle, has the good angle to look to the right into the room where he would have seen that oppositional role player or that target. You just push straight into the room and you were exposed and you got, you know, quote unquote shot, right? This was a completely dry class, by the way. So it was all mag blocks or mantises, things like that. I don't think we even had anybody there that was shooting Sims or airsoft or nothing like that. So we really didn't even need to bust out, any iPro. The cool part I will say is we had a lot of people in there, a lot of people using Mantis systems, the Mantis Blackbeard on, their rifles, but then also several guys who had the new, Mantis Titan X, which is their, like, it's kind of like a cert pistol. I don't know if you can use the word cert. Because I think that's a brand. Don't quote me on that. That might be different. It might just be a model or a concept. I don't know. But I want to say we had like two or three guys that rolled in with that. One gentleman actually is like fully decked out. It had like a TLR-1 light on it. It had a Trigicon SRO on it. I was like, damn, dude, like this thing just came out like 2-3 weeks ago. You already got this thing all dressed to the nines, bro. Like you're crushing it, dude. So it was really cool because it just shows you people. Those kinds of people that are willing to invest in those kinds of tools take their training, take all of this really seriously. That's not to say that the other people don't. It's just to say that, you know, you do have some folks in there who are really dedicated to really trying and really being successful. Now, the other thing that I'll say is we had some folks that, you know, you have some very obvious mistakes, like mounting optics out on the handguard. Right, just too far forward on the gun and stuff. And that's not a deliberate thing, almost ever. Like anytime I've seen it, it's not a deliberate thing where people go, don't talk to me. I know I've had people tell me this is wrong. I like it here. It's usually just a case of, hey, I don't know any better. Basically, like, you don't know what you don't know. And if you ever had anybody explain that, you know, mounting your optics to your handguard is bad, not because the handguard itself doesn't have a good amount of integrity to it, but because it can, under high levels of stress, bend or twist, which would then completely fuck your zero, and then you wouldn't be able to put rounds on target accurately, and then someone explains it to you, you go, oh, okay, so then you back it up and you put it on the receiver, right, because if that gets crushed or bent or something, then the whole gun won't operate, and it's kind of a moot point, but you see that kind of stuff. We had a little bit of that in class over the weekend, and you know, you try to help with that stuff where you can, give recommendations where you can. I know when I took the Orion class in May, guys, we had like the tools and the fix-it sticks out on breaks all the time. Like, hey, I'm going to move this weapon light over to the other side of the gun because of this. I'm going to move this optic back because of that, you know. And that's just like, to me, that's the that's like the term I like to use is the adjacent value that gets presented when you go to a course like this. Because it's not just the core content of like, hey, a 2-day fundamentals of structure clearance course or fundamentals of CQB or CQC course. It's that plus, you know, the adjacent value you get to, hey, set up your light this way. Hey, push your optic back on, you know, on the firearm, right? Or hey, when you manipulate your sling this way, it's better. Hey, when you run kit, do this, change your kit up to do that, right? It's that extra stuff that's not really, you know, your CQB footwork, your room clearing process, your methodology, the concepts. Like, it's like extra. And that to me is when you have like a really good instructor who is really dedicated to bringing you the very best that they can. That's my opinion, you know, and I've had that experience with a lot of instructors, thankfully. And, you know, even with all that mixed in, we still got through so much stuff, man. Yeah, we got through hallways. We got through inward and outward opening doors and how to breach them, right? So self-breaching, buddy breach, or you know, the other guy if you only have two people. Or if you have a team of three and you have the ability, you know, hey, how can we keep two guns on this door and have a third guy breach safely, whether that's an inward door or an outward door. Ulnar breaching and stuff like that, which is just a different way of opening the doorknob depending on if you're right or left-handed and which side you have to set up on, things like that. And then looking at doors as a part of our threshold assessment, right? So looking at the barrels, looking at where the knob was located, how deeply that door is recessed, right? Because that could change a lot of shit and things like that. And we actually had a guy who's a, you know, by trade works in construction, was able to like, yeah, you're only ever going to see a flush door if it's a pull. If it's a push door, you'll see a recess to it. And I was like, do you work in construction? Because you seem pretty confident about this. And he was like, yeah. I'm like, cool, man. That's awesome. It also just shows you like the wide breadth of people and experiences and jobs and occupations, right? That you find when you come to these classes, you know, it's wild. We had people, I think somebody, I don't know the specifics, so I, if they're listening, I do apologize. I try to like pick up stuff, but I'm terrible with names. And then sometimes I'm just awful with retaining information. We had guys who were talking, like we had a doctor, we had somebody who was really into scuba diving and stuff. And like part of, I think a board or a company for diving, involved with somebody from Dev Group, which is like wild and kind of awesome. Right. We had, I mean, it's just, you know, obviously, law enforcement, we had people who work in IT. So it is really cool, you know, that mix of people, and then they're able to add to those conversations, you know, in creative and constructive ways. It's kind of neat. And we got through all that stuff like pretty damn quick, you know. There was a fairly, you know, dedicated, just spirit, I guess is the word I'll use, to this group of students and individuals. So, we actually got to get into low light, and then we start talking about, how to use your light in low light conditions, how to signal with your light. So if you're trying to call for a breach, right? Hey, how can we use our light to do that? Hey, rather than just wagging your barrel to call for, you know, for something, right? Because it's low light, we can't see that. How can we effectively use our white light to do that, right? And when? How do we signal that we've, you know, scanned and cleared this room and we're done and we're ready to move out? You know, hey, oh, well, just turn your light on pointing straight up at the ceiling or straight down at the floor. Then everybody knows that you no longer have any work, right? So those kinds of concepts. We actually, and like, honestly, we had a couple people show up that had night vision. So we didn't really get into a night vision piece of this, but, you know, there are people that have that stuff out there. It's really, really cool to see when you meet new folks. They're like, yep, I'm as invested in this as you are. I have a helmet and night vision, and I train on this stuff on the regular, and, you know, those people are out there. And this is like, and that really just goes to hammer home the point is whether, you know, whether you're an instructor or an assistant instructor or somebody just taking a class, like classes are always, always, always going to be the best place you can go to meet folks that you could potentially bring into a training group. You know, and you get to spend a day or 2 days or 3 days or maybe more training with them. So you get an idea like, hey, is this guy like, is he squared away? Does he know what he's doing? Or is he kind of a moron? You know, and I don't know how you evaluate individual, you know, skill, capability, or talent, but whatever you do, however, whatever you take away from that, like, cool, you have that opportunity there and no harm, no foul. Maybe at the end of class, you go, hey man, it was really awesome running reps with you. You're like really squared away guy. Let's connect on Instagram or Facebook or whatever, you know, you children do these days. And like, you know, I go to this range, it'd be great to like connect and go hit the range together. And then, hey, cool, you can go hit the range together. Wild, right? It's crazy. It's like making friends out in the world with human interaction rather than just, you know, fucking bitching, moaning, and pissing all over each other on social media about why you're better looking or smarter or a better shooter or whatever, and then expect everybody to want to fall in line and join your training group doing the things that you deem to be most important and absolutely fucking nothing else, right? But, you know, I digress. It was a really, really cool opportunity for me. You know, it was really nice. A couple of people, I think, I'll say a couple gentlemen, and they know who they are. There was two or three of them, that went out of their way very specifically to, you know, shake my hand, tell me they, you know, thought I did a fantastic job. I had somebody tell me I was either the most or one of the most, squared away AIs they've ever encountered in a class. Which is cool, because I think that particular gentleman has been through several. So for me, that just, you know, to me, it doesn't necessarily pad my ego. To me, when I heard that, what I took away was, hey, your preparation for this was adequate. You did your job. Your role, I think, right? And this is a sample size of one like really one person who's done this one time as an assistant instructor, right? Like you're there to be supplemental to the instructor, right? So you're there to only add to what they're doing. Because if you're a bad AI, I think you'd start taking the focus away from the instructor, causing more issues. When they have to take care of you and they have to take care of teaching the class and any other administrative stuff that pops up, because there is, you know what I mean? Like every class I've ever been to, there's issues like, oh, hey, this broke, or hey, we need some wrenches to tighten this down, or somebody had a weapon fail, can we get them a spare part, or, you know, somebody doesn't show up, or somebody's late, or whatever, or there's an issue with the facility, like something. That stuff just, it's not if it's going to happen, it's when it's going to happen. So as an assistant instructor, your job is to be supplemental to make their life easier, not harder. I thought it was really cool. I was very happy to get that. And then again, just the positive feedback around my own personal teaching ability. And which again, I have to, you know, say a big thank you to the guys at Orion Training Group for being a great example of what I think a strong instructor really is. You know, taking what I know from my previous life, right, teaching music and stuff, working with high school kids. Because honestly, if you can work with high school kids, you can work with damn near anybody. The temperaments, the personality types, just the wild amounts of drama and unnecessary bullshit that you have to work through with high school kids. If you can do that, I'm convinced you can work with almost anyone, you know, as an adult anyways. I say you go younger when you get into like grade school and middle school. Oof, you are really taking your life into your own hands with some of that stuff, because it can be a whole hell of a lot sometimes. But really enjoyed getting the positive feedback. Also, I was happy. I think Kyle was as well. We got a couple pieces of negative feedback, you know, and that's not necessarily like awful shit. It is just, you know, hey, this is where I, as a student, or a consumer, however you want to look at it, think that you can improve. And I think it was like one piece of negative feedback provided by two people. And I think they both ran in the same friend circle, so it kind of made some sense. Was around flagging. Hey, we would have liked to see more muzzle discipline. You know, I know we do safety checks, which we do. A lot of people had Mantises in, but we check everybody for live ammo two times before they're able to go in the training space. And, you know, it's hard. It is really hard to control that environment with the muzzling with so many people running around. It's much easier to control the ammunition problem, which is why we didn't even let EDC guns right into the building. Those were, you know, secured in the vehicle, and you control that issue that way. And to be fair, I've taken five structure clearance courses between Orion Training Group, Maneuver Training Solutions. I've also learned from a gentleman from Core Vision Training and stuff. So I've got some exposure and stuff. And I think in maybe two or three of those five or six classes or whatever, you know, a pretty, you know, percentage-wise, a good percentage, somebody brings up the flagging. And it's hard, right? Because you got people that are learning for the first time. You've got people that are just their varying levels of experience, right? So that's why it's always best that you teach this stuff dry without live ammunition, because hey, yes, the worst thing I did was flag you with an inert gun. Should you do that? Fuck no. Is it easy to get away from that? No, it really isn't. You know, unfortunately, like, guys go to scan, they over-rotate, and they flag their buddies. You're teaching people how to breach doors, and as they lean in, they're not paying attention to their... They're trying to breach with their left hand, they lean in, their right hand drifts, and they point their gun at the guy at the other side of the door, right? Like, that kind of stuff happens, and it's unfortunate, right? You know, but... And you counsel on it, right? It's not a big deal. Like, hey, man, not a big deal. Here's, you know, like, let's reset this, guys. Come step back out here. Let's all set it up, you know? And then you go, hey, just something to keep an eye on. As we're opening this door, you have to be cognizant of where your muzzle is pointing, you know, and you as the guy on the other side of the door, you can say, hey, man, don't point your fucking gun at me. And, the guy will probably correct that. Or additionally, hey, if you can't support the weight of the gun because, I don't know, you don't go to the gym, you don't lift heavy things or whatever. Hey, here's your options. You can drop the gun and take it out completely, high port, low port, whatever. If you do want to hold it towards the door, you know, because you want to keep a gun on that. Or maybe we're talking about self-breaching here. You can hold it out this way. You can tuck the stock under your armpits and, you know, angle slightly upward. So as you lean in, that gun is directionally effective, right? It's going to be pointed towards the space that's going to be potentially housing a bad person. There's like nuance and details to it, but that's the stuff like I 110% anticipated having to work through, having to try and counsel people to, helping them understand like how important it is and how dangerous it is in the confines of structure clearance, like especially some of these small rooms that you can only even get two, maybe three guys at most in out of a team of four or five. You have to be aware of your barrel. So, I mean, it's not, and I share that very freely. You know, and I think Kyle would share that too. Like, it's not a big deal. I think that if you've taught CQB for any amount of time and you haven't gotten feedback around, I would like to see people, you know, policing the muzzling more actively, I don't know that you've actually taught too many CQB classes. And it's not that you should stop providing that feedback. It's just that it's a very real part of teaching people these skills. And you have to coach to it. You have to expect it. You have to coach to it. And this is also why I've been told anyways, if you go to take like a CQB instructor's course, one of the biggest things that they grade on, or most heavily weighted things that they score you on to graduate that class or whatever it is, right, is the safety check phase. Did you check everyone for ammo? Did you check their weapons? And did you check to see if their weapons have magazines in them? And did you check to see if any of their pouches on their belts or chest carriers or anything had magazines with live ammo in them? That's a huge deal. And it sounds like something like, no shit, man, of course we would do that. I have heard of many, many instances where training companies with quote unquote qualified instructors because they were in the military, and that's not to shit on anybody. Like, here, I'll be clear, I'm not shitting on anybody because of their military experience. I'm shitting on them because of their inability to do something to keep people around them safe. That's very easy and fundamental and basic. And it just goes to show you that like anybody can make those mistakes. And I know of multiple companies out there that I think are still operational teaching CQB classes that have that issue. It is a realistic problem. So, like, yeah, do the safety checks. Do what you can to be safe. What's the easiest way to make sure that people in that class don't accidentally get shot? Don't even let any ammo come in the fucking building, which is exactly what Kyle did. So I thought that was a rather smart move. You know, I mean, some people will say, oh, just keep it locked up in your Pelican or whatever. And then you also have additional rules, you know, like, hey, if you go back to your box while we're running reps and stuff, just self-police, have a buddy check you. If you walk away with your gear and everything, and then you come back, have a buddy check you, make sure that none of your mags are loaded or anything like that. If you go out to your car on a break, same thing, we have to recheck you when you come back in, and you have to police that shit. Like, you absolutely fucking have to. No ifs, no ands, no buts. And I've said this before to some people, I'll say it here now, like, if you walk into a class and they don't do that, they don't go through the safety checks, I would demand a refund on the spot. And I would leave. And I'd feel 100% confident that, regardless of if you ever served, if you ever law enforcement or not, hey, this is unsafe. Well, we don't, you know, we don't really think that's necessary. We think that's over the top, blah, 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 or whatever, I guess the fucking shitty excuses. I would say, respectfully, we're going to agree to disagree on this. I would like my money back since we haven't started class. I would like my money back and I'm going to leave because this isn't safe. And I can hear it. I can visualize it in my mind's eye. I can see the companies I'm thinking of, right, that are out there that do this stuff, and they could have every reason in the world and try and talk circles around you about why, well, you know, you're just missing, you know, this isn't that big of a deal. Like, we're very safe. We've never had an issue. And nobody ever has had, you know, no one ever has had an issue until they do. And that's why it's never okay to just be like, well, you know, we don't have that problem. We've never had that problem. Our students are all very safe. And it's like, I don't give a shit, you know, as someone who's been through other companies' stuff, if I were ever to go through those things and people were not doing those checks, I would be very, very upset and I would leave immediately. I would even potentially eat the cost on it. Depend, you know what I mean? Like, is it worth getting shot? You know, whatever money you paid. So, but yeah, it was an incredible experience for me. I was very, very happy that we got the positive feedback that we did and that I got, you know, specifically positive feedback. Is it something that I'm going to do again? I guess is the follow-on question, or something where I'm going to pursue this. And I guess my answer right now is I don't know. I would probably lean more towards probably not. Like, I do want to be really careful that I don't put myself out there as somebody who is some kind of, like, you know, great instructor or anything like that. I'm happy to share with folks. I was very happy to AI with Kyle. I might do that again, you know, in that kind of instance and application. But, you know, I've never done it for real, you know, and I still have a lot more to learn. I want to do a lot more stuff with, like, force on force and situational things and, you know, like, I think, like, a contingency training where it's, you know, hey, a guy gets shot. How do we drag him out and render aid and stuff like that? I know there are classes out there for that stuff. I have, you know, growing and development to do myself that I want to focus on. So would I do it again if I was asked? It would very much, it would depend on the situation, the context, who is asking, what I'd be doing and things like that. But I feel really good about it. So, I don't think anyways, a shift of scope or focus or anything like that for me or for prepared mindset. Certainly have no, you know, plans to create a training company or anything like that because of one successful outing. But it was very neat. It was very cool. I thank Kyle multiple times. I think he listens to these. So Kyle, thank you again. It was a great opportunity. Really, really liked it. I thought it was very, very successful. So, yeah, man, hopefully you guys dig this, like, are hearing about it. 'Cause I know there's guys out there that listen that are instructors. They run their own training companies. You can probably relate to a lot of these things, if not all of these things. So, happy to share again. Like, that's been the mission and the goal from, like, day one, is to share my own learning experiences with all of you so that you can learn from it. I'm never going to try and be the guy that comes out here and tells everybody this is the right way, that's the wrong way, or you need to do this if you want to be effective, or at least not on most things. You know, I mean, like, there's certain shit, like, I'd be very, very diligent in saying, like, I will never fucking do that. And, I'd probably stick to most of those things, but, yeah. At any rate, you guys, thank you so much for hanging out and listening to this discussion with myself, conversation with myself, this rant. Thank you for sticking around and listening to this rant. That's amazing. At the time that this drops, I think there will still be maybe some days left. If you guys want to go to thegundies.com and vote for Prepared Mindset, it would really help me out. It'd be really awesome if we could make it in top five. It would say a heck of a lot about the podcast, and specifically, I think it would say a lot more about you guys, the listeners, than it would about me. But, you know, I always try to bring, forward good information for you guys, and relevant guests, relevant topics, you know, strong discussions and things like that, or at the very least relatable. You know, like this for me, you know, I'm sure a lot of you guys have either thought about trying to become a trainer or trying to start your own company, experiences, things like that. So I thought this was obviously a great opportunity to sit down to talk about what I was kind of going through, what my thoughts were, what next steps I can see for myself, you know, what I was apprehensive about, what I was excited about, you know. So I hope that this helped with that. And likewise, if you guys are from the class and you're listening to this, like, drop a comment or shoot me a message. I think I have actual connections with maybe like two or three people out of like the 15, 16, whatever it was that were there. I did get to meet Sarah at MI Gun Girl, I think is her Instagram. She was able to come off the second day of class, able to meet her, hang out with her. Extremely nice individual. Really, really cool time hanging out and getting to know her a little bit during the lunch break and whatnot. Also got to see a couple other friends and people that I knew, you know, come around for class and whatnot. So, all in all, if I had to sum it up, I'd say it was a very, very positive experience. Appreciate you guys listening, taking the time to hear about this because, you know, that's what I'm here for. I don't even know what I'm talking about at this point, man. It is, I think I've had like maybe 6 hours of sleep and I am probably just running on fumes and incoherently rambling at this point. So with that said, I'm going to go ahead and call it for the week, you guys. Thank you so much for listening. You know, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, all that good stuff. I hope everybody is enjoying the time with family and staying safe out there. You know, for as great a time of year as it is, it's also a time of year when we see a lot of very unfortunate incidents and abductions and things like that. So watch over your loved ones, be safe. And like we always say here, guys, work hard, train smarter, and be prepared.